Welcome to Since You Asked with Jim Barrier on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Send Jim your questions about the Bible and Christianity to jim@cgmradio.com. Subscribe to Since You Asked by visiting us online at cgmradio.com/ask. And now, here's your host, Jim Barrier.
David was called a man after God's own heart. He is regarded as Israel's greatest king. Jesus was called Son of David. Israel's flag has the symbol of Judaism, the star of, you guessed it, David. So who was this man? And what does it mean to be a man after God's own heart? The story really begins with the first prophet and the first king of Israel. Samuel was to be the first to hold the office of prophet of Israel. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, Israel demanded that Samuel appoint for them a king like all of the other nations. Samuel was offended by this request, but God said to him, "They didn't reject you, they rejected me." So Samuel anointed Saul as king. He was a mighty man, proud, handsome, and tall, everything the people would desire in a king. He was the embodiment of everything the flesh desires and admires. Saul was the personification of the flesh. Eventually, Saul disobeyed the Lord, and the Lord told Samuel, "I regret that I have made Saul king." This is reminiscent of the time when God grieved that he had made man. But just as Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, God always has a plan. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "How long are you going to mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse of Bethlehem, because I have chosen a king for myself among his sons." When Saul disobeyed God, he tried to justify himself by offering to make a sacrifice to the Lord. That is when Samuel said, "Obedience is better than sacrifice." Acts 13 says that after God had removed Saul, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will." Jesus said, "I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that of everything that he has given me, I will lose nothing, but will raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day." Doing the will of God must be framed in the big picture. What serves his purpose over the course of our lives? What builds his kingdom, not ours? This is core choice or ultimate choice. It is deciding to surrender to God's authority. Next come strategic choices or major life decisions like education, career, marriage, ministry, etc. And then there are incidental or routine choices that we make hundreds of times a day. David and Jesus settled their ultimate choice, and everything else followed in place. At least 9 times we read the phrase, "David inquired of the Lord," before making decisions. The first characteristic of the man after God's own heart is obedience to the will of God. So Samuel did what the Lord told him, and he came to Bethlehem. Jesse presented his sons, beginning with the eldest. The prophet took a look at Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is standing before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God does not see as man sees, since man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab, and had him pass before Samuel. But he said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Next, Jesse had Shema pass by, and he said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." So Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." Then Samuel said to Jesse, "Are these all the boys?" And he said, "The youngest is still left, but behold, he is tending the sheep." The name David means beloved. He was the youngest of Jesse's sons. Interestingly, the youngest of Jesus' disciples was John, who was called the disciple whom Jesus loved. So Samuel said to Jesse, "Send word and bring him, for we will not take our places at the table until he comes here." So he sent word and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, that means red-haired, with beautiful eyes and a handsome appearance. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. That reminds me of Acts chapter 2, when suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. There was not just an urgency on the Spirit's part to fall on David, but a continuation of his anointing throughout David's life. Remember in his prayer of repentance, David pleads, "Do not take your Holy Spirit from me." The man after God's own heart not only welcomes the presence of God's Spirit in his life, he cannot live without it. Now notice that Jesse seemed to want to keep David secret, but why? By studying the genealogies, we can deduct that David was a stepbrother to Jesse's other sons. In 2 Samuel chapter 17 and 1 Chronicles chapter 2, David's two sisters, Zeruiah and Abigail, are mentioned, daughters of Nahash. The woman who bore them was a different woman than the mother of David's brothers. She had been married to Nahash before she was with Jesse, possibly a concubine rather than a wife to Jesse. This woman was David's mother. This would explain why David's brothers seemed to have contempt for him, and why Jesse seemed embarrassed by him. He would also have been rejected by the other sons of Nahash. Psalm 69:8 says, "I have become estranged from my brothers and a stranger to my mother's sons." This also sheds light on Psalm 51:5. "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." It was David's mother's sin that scripture is speaking of. David was literally the red-headed stepchild. But the Lord looks at the heart. Remember when God called Gideon to fight Midian? And Gideon said, "My family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house." But the Lord said, "I will certainly be with you, and you will defeat Midian." He had to pare down an army of 22,000 to 300. Then he defeated Midian. The man after God's own heart depends on spiritual credentials, not man's credentials. Saul maintained the throne even after David was anointed. But he became bitter and jealous of David, even seeking to kill him. David had opportunity to take Saul's life, but instead he said, "Far be it from me to stretch forth my hand against God's anointed." He uttered this phrase several times in his life. He knew promotion comes from the hand of the Lord. He had an understanding of spiritual authority. Remember the centurion who asked Jesus to heal his servant? He said, "Say the word, and my servant will be healed, for I also am a man placed under authority, with soldiers under myself. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. Now when Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and he turned and said to the crowd that was following him, I say to you, not even in Israel have I found such great faith. And when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant in good health. The man after God's own heart understands spiritual authority. Now, while Saul was still king, he led the armies of Israel against the Philistines and their champion Goliath. The giant challenged Israel, saying, I will fight your best warrior, winner take all. When David showed up, he was sickened that this uncircumcised Philistine dared to defy the armies of the living God, and that they were trembling in fear. So he volunteered to fight the giant. He told Saul, God delivered the lion and the bear into my hand, and he will do the same with this uncircumcised Philistine. He took a sling and some smooth stones, and when he approached Goliath, he said, I come to you in the name of the Lord, who will hand you over to me. Then he defeated the giant, and the enemies fled. David learned to trust God while tending his sheep. His faith was strengthened by past victories. Psalm 27:1 says, The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom should I dread? Psalm 37 says, Trust in the Lord and do good. Live in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. The man after God's own heart learns to trust God. Of the 42 kings over Israel and Judah, only 8 never turned to idols or false god. That in itself is staggering. David never turned to idols or false gods. When God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, he began with, You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he said to the devil, It is written, You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And he said to the woman at the well, True worshipers worship the Father in spirit and in truth. When you read the Psalms of David, you get a glimpse into his appreciation of the Creator and his creation. David was a true worshiper. Psalm 8, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have displayed your splendor above the heavens. Psalm 30. You have turned my mourning into dancing for me. You have untied my sackcloth and encircled me with joy, that my soul may sing praise to you and not be silent. Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Psalm 40. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God, the King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you. I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. The man after God's own heart is a true worshiper. But perhaps David's most outstanding trait was his understanding of the mercy of God. David was far from perfect. He had 9 wives, and one of them was Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. David saw her bathing from a rooftop one day, when it says the kings should be out to battle, and he desired her for his own. The result was adultery. then an innocent man sent on a suicide mission, and ultimately the death of the child she bore him. 1 Chronicles 21 and 2 Samuel 24 record a civil war in Israel. David took a census, and he was outnumbered 2-1. Now, this does not mean, as some wrongly suggest, that filling out a census form is a sin. The sin was that David didn't trust God as he did in past battles. The Lord sent a plague that killed 70,000 because of David's sin. Afterward, David's heart troubled him for doing so. "Behold, it is I who have sinned, and it is I who have done wrong. But these sheep, what have they done? Please let your hand be against me and against my father's house." David was not perfect, and his sins were costly, but he knew how to repent and seek God's mercy. Listen to his prayer in Psalm 32. "How blessed is he whose wrongdoing is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is a person whose guilt the Lord does not take into account, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality failed as with the dry heat of the summer." Selah. "I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my guilt. I said, I will confess my wrongdoings to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." And again in Psalm 51, "Be gracious to me, God, according to your faithfulness, according to the greatness of your compassion. Wipe out my wrongdoings. Wash me thoroughly from my guilt. Cleanse me from my sin, for I know my wrongdoings, and my sin is constantly before me. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in guilt, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in secret you will make wisdom known to me. Purify me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Cleanse me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and wipe out all my guilty deeds. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach wrongdoers your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Save me from the guilt of bloodshed, God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. Lord, open my lips, so that my mouth may declare your praise. For you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." By the way, those who would say that the God in the Old Testament was a God of wrath, but the God in the New Testament was a God of mercy, have read neither the Old Testament or the New Testament. God has always been merciful, and he has always judged and punished sin. The difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant is that Jesus was the perfect sacrifice, and he shed his blood to perfectly cleanse us and bring forgiveness and healing into our lives. The man after God's own heart knows the mercy of God and therefore repents of his sin. So what have we learned about David and being a man after God's own heart? David was obedient. David was anointed with the Spirit. David had spiritual credentials. David understood spiritual authority. David trusted God. David was a true worshiper. And David knew the mercy of God. David was a man after God's own heart. No matter who you are, no matter what your family history is, no matter how many times you have failed, determine to be obedient to God's will. Seek the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Submit to spiritual authority in your life. Trust the Lord. Be a true worshiper. Confess your sin and rely on the mercy of God. And in so doing, you will be a person after God's own heart.
Since You Asked is a production of Jim Barrier and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/ask.